There hasn't been a military draft since Vietnam, but still, the U.S. requires young men 18 to 25 to sign up for the selective service, which is effectively the military draft. Well, feminists have their great victory, and I mean this. There are many feminists who legitimately wanted this. Democrats have voted to amend a draft of the National Defense Authorization Act to include language forcing women to register for the military draft. Failure to register for the selective service is a felony. It means you can't get federal jobs. You wouldn't be able to get a student loans. And if for some reason they actually do convict you, I don't think there's very many prosecutions for failure to register, but then you'd be a felon. No more traveling, can't own guns. I'm sure that's not a big deal for many on the left, but this is it. Now, the Democrats have introduced this change, but Republicans are pushing back, particularly Josh Hawley saying we shouldn't be forcing women into combat roles. And one of the biggest challenges we face is the effectiveness of our military and if even having women in combat is the right thing. For a long time now, there's been a debate over whether or not women should serve in combat roles. And there are interesting arguments to be made. Ultimately, however, I think if the wealthy elites, who often don't have to face the consequences for their corruption, if they want cannon fodder, they gonna get cannon fodder. And I had an interesting conversation on the Timcast IRL podcast recently. When talking about the potential for war or conflict, I can't remember who told me this, but they said, there's not enough young men right now. We don't have enough children. And you know, we have to use young men to fight these wars, so we may not see hot conflict without it. Ah, but what about the pool of young women? What about 17-year-old women right now? Guess what? The NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, will likely be signed into law sometime this year. It passes every time, without question, over the past 60 years, it's never failed. No matter how many times they've filibustered, no matter how many arguments they have, it passes. That means all these young women, y'all got to sign up for the draft. What does that really mean? Well, here's what I think will happen. I think ultimately, nothing. Women who are, you know, 17 right now, maybe 18, 19, I mean, it's up to 25, so they probably are going to make 24-year-olds have to sign up for the draft. I don't think you're going to see anything. I mean, look, I, as well as many others, we all signed up for the selective service. None of us get drafted. Now, in the event of war with China, however, which seems like it's becoming increasingly likely, you might actually get called upon to serve and serve in combat. Now, outside of the argument of whether or not women should be drafted, you do have the controversy over lowering standards. And we've got this story from a couple years ago. The Wall Street Journal argued women shouldn't be in combat, noting that the Marines were lowering their standards because women couldn't pass the test. And now here we are. A couple years later, we learn that 53 women have passed the test. But if you look at the news under the assumption that the test today is the same as it was 10 years ago, you might think these women are on the same physical footing as the men of previous generations. But that's not necessarily true. I can't say for sure, but they changed the standards. Will this mean our military is more or less effective? And I got to be honest, I'm not a fan of throwing young people into combat as cannon fodder. But even if you lower the standard and you get less qualified people in combat, you get a lot more people in combat. And as we learned from the Soviets in World War II, they simply sent wave after wave of their own men at the Nazis, them getting crushed and blown up and wiped out. But hey, mass-produced crap was better than high-quality but in short supply weapons. I wouldn't call it crap. Basically, the idea was the Soviets produced a whole bunch of really cheap garbage, but they had so much of it. They had so many cheap tanks that even if the Nazis were able to blow one up, they had too many more. Instead of focusing on these really high quality and great tanks that could be taken out with one hit, they said wave after wave of our own men, just like Zap Brannigan. So maybe, ultimately, if you're a warmonger, you're thinking, look, we may see a 20% reduction in effectiveness from, a co-ed military, but we get a 40% increase in cannon fodder. Well, let's see exactly what's going on, and we'll talk about some of the arguments about women in combat. Before we get started, however, Go to TimCast.com, where we have this beautiful article already published. Become a member to get access to exclusive members-only podcasts, members-only episodes of the TimCast IRL podcast, as well as you will support our fierce and independent journalism, which we are working hard to improve and do better every day. We just launched this past week with the new newsroom, so you know, give us time to get things better. We got fact checkers joining on board. We're going to be launching a new show soon, the next week or so, plus a new D&D show. We're going to be building a whole bunch of cultural shows with your support as a member. But don't forget to like this video, subscribe to this channel, and share this video if you think this news and these arguments and these ideas are very, very important. Ultimately, I'll give you the information to the best of my abilities, but I want you to decide what you think is right for you and your family. Should women be in combat roles in the military? Well, let's start with the big breaking news. Senate Armed Services Panel votes to make women register for the draft. Democrats introduced the change to be added to the National Defense Authorization Act for 2022. Now, Republicans said no to this. Unfortunately, the Republicans don't control the Senate, and this passed. They say, the Senate Armed Services Committee has voted to amend language in their annual guidelines and require women to register for the draft for the first time in American history. The NDAA Act approved by the committee on Wednesday amends the Military Selective Service Act to require the registration of women for selective service, according to a summary released on the closed door vote. There has been no draft in the U.S. since the Vietnam War, when millions were required to serve without volunteering. Despite the hiatus, all American men between the ages of 18 and 25 must register with the selective service system should a national emergency arise. Pentagon officials have repeatedly claimed that they intend to keep service volunteer-based. Now, they can claim that all they want, my friends, but it's entirely possible. China invades Taiwan. China has threatened Japan. And not even China, I mean Russia. We've got a real potential for war. We often do, don't get me wrong. And many have said we're in the war. That may be true, too. In fact, we may be in a cyber war. Actually, I would say, in my opinion, we're in a cyber war with China. No joke. And we could talk about Russia and Iran and all that stuff. And yes, they're probably belligerents in this conflict as well. But the principal actors are the U.S. and China, in my opinion. China's got powerful hackers. They've got powerful interests who are likely seeding propaganda, misinformation, hacking our critical infrastructure. They want Taiwan. And I think they might try and take it. And what does that mean? It's interesting that this language is being introduced at a time when we've talked about Thucydides' trap and the fourth turning. If you're not familiar, Thucydides' trap suggests that when a rising economic power is about to displace the dominant economic power, a war breaks out. Wouldn't that be ever so convenient for the U.S. that we are attempting to double our active military pool? Now, I shouldn't say double, but double the availability of wartime cannon fodder. You know, I don't really like to call young people cannon fodder, but I'm making a point about the callousness of the elites who would send us off to these foreign wars. They say, those who do not sign up for the selective service face the possibility of being ineligible for federal financial aid to go to college. The Supreme Court refused to hear a similar case on gender-based registration last June, saying it remains to be seen, of course, whether Congress will end gender-based registration under the Military Selective Service Act, wrote Justice Sonia Sotomayor in an opinion, joined by Justices Stephen Breyer and Brett Kavanaugh. But at least for now, the court's longstanding deference to Congress on matters of national defense and military affairs cautions against granting review while Congress actively weighs the issue. That, I actually think, was a fair ruling. And the reason was, 4 years ago, Congress said they were going to review this. They're going to have a panel or committee and determine whether or not it made sense. So as they're actively doing their due diligence to determine whether or not they want to make this change, the Supreme Court said, we can't weigh in on this right now. And sure enough, well, technically the lawsuit wins, right? They didn't win in the lawsuit, but they were arguing, it was this men's group arguing that it was unconstitutional to force only men to be in the draft. They're going to say Republicans and Democrats have been debating the issue of including women in the draft since 2017, shortly after the military changed its regulations and allowed females to serve in forward-facing combat missions. The House Armed Service Subcommittees will take up the NDAA on July 28th and 29th, and their full panel will consider the bill on September 1st, according to a report from Roll Call. Unlike the Senate, their markups are typically open to the public. Roll Call noted that the NDAA has been signed into law for 60 consecutive years. Could this be, my friends, the poison pill the Democrats have injected? to make sure this bill cannot pass? No, the Democrats control the Senate and the House. They're going to pass this. Joe Biden's going to rubber stamp it. So there is the potential that this is the one time in 60 years the NDAA is just so abhorrent that it cannot be approved. Yeah, sorry. Rand Paul tries to filibuster, but the Democrats want it. They gon' get it. Politico reported this. Senate Democrats propose requiring women to register for the military draft. It's the Democrats who wanted it. So congratulations to each and every one of the Democrats who are now shocked to find out. Oh, man, I just got to say, how many 18 to 24 year old women were like, we're going to go vote for the Democrats. Woohoo. And high fived each other. And then they voted their mail in ballots. If you know any of such people, please share with them this video. I am not saying this because I want to rub their faces in it, because that would be I would then be assuming they don't want to serve. But we've all seen that Army ad of that young woman who was talking about being at Pride and her two moms. Well, she was a young woman and she signed up. And you know what? I think women can and should serve in the armed forces if they so choose. Now, as for combat roles, it's a bigger question that I'm not qualified to answer to. There's a lot of arguments I've seen about the lowering of standards versus the change in team dynamics when it's co-ed. Perhaps there are some arguments we can talk about in that regard. But ultimately, I don't know, changes happen. A lot of things have changed over the past 100 years. I'm not an expert on combat. So by all means, I defer to the experts, I suppose. As for women serving in the military, they can certainly move boxes, sign paperwork, and a lot of other things. And I'm not saying that's what they should be doing. I'm saying there are things in the armed forces women can do. So why shouldn't they be drafted? Now, I'll stress this point, too. And then we'll read what the Republicans had to say when they said no to this, because they're going to fight, they claim. We'll see. You know, there are a lot of people who think women shouldn't be in the armed forces. And there was the argument with Tucker Carlson about maternity flight suits. And as I stated, I think, you know, if there's a job that can be done and it's a support role, and even if it's here in the United States, that makes sense. But as for the draft itself, I'm actually in favor of the concept of a draft. I'm just not in favor of a draft for a corrupt country, which brings me back around to saying the draft can be dangerous. So I know you're like, wait a minute, Tim, you said, no, here's what I mean. The general idea of a draft, let's say I live in a small town and someone says Antifa and Black Lives Matter are coming, they're going to riot. They said, come here now. We're taking all able-bodied individuals to defend our town. Well, OK, what am I going to do? Sit back and hide like a coward? No, I'm going to stay and I'm going to defend my home from extremists. If China was coming and invading the United States and we saw, you know, attacks and airstrikes, yeah, I'd say, let me know what I can do. Now, to be completely honest, I think I would be most effective at a local level. And there is a big challenge and a hard question of if, let's say right now in the United States, China invaded the West Coast, they're attacking Seattle, California. They've occupied San Francisco. We're trying to move in. And they say anyone able must. This is it. It's World War III. Everyone. You know what? I'm going to be honest. Begrudgingly, that's hard. But I'd say, tell me what you need me to do. I will not let someone come to this country in America, United States, and force anyone in this country, even people in San Francisco, the oligarchs and all the awful things that happen. What I'm not okay with, and I'll stress this point, the line is somewhere between local and national, because there's an argument about being forced to even be conscripted to defend your own country, but I think we got to defend our own country. But then you get to the international conflict stuff, and this is where I draw the line. The problem with the draft is that it's used by the corrupt establishment to send people to die in foreign wars for no reason. So, nah, that's why I'm not OK with that. But at principle, I'll put it this way, too. I don't like unions. Why? Because unions today are corrupt. But I do like collective bargaining. And I do like the idea of going on strike and the essential functions of what unions were supposed to be. I like the idea of telling people, guys, I'm sorry, but we all have to fight to defend our homes and our country. I don't like the idea of them saying you're fighting for your country by going and dying in Vietnam. And thus, the draft was bad news. But here's what we get from Republicans. Burgess Everett, he is a Politico reporter, says 5 Senate Republicans opposed expanding registering for the Selective Service potential draft to women. Hawley and Cotton among the no votes yesterday, per sources. It was approved in Armed Services Committee onto NDAA as amendment 21-5 per committee rally. So we're there. There are actually Republicans who are like, let's do it. OK, well, Josh Hawley has issued a statement. He says, I voted against forcing women to enter the draft. And here's why. American women have heroically served in and alongside our fighting forces since our nation's founding. It's one thing to allow American women to choose this service, but it's quite another to force it upon our daughters, sisters, and wives. Missourians feel strongly that compelling women to fight our wars is wrong, and so do I. I don't agree with that at all. I do not agree with that at all. Fighting our wars, okay, maybe. Actually, I shouldn't take that. I'll walk it back a little bit. Women in combat, okay, maybe that's not the right thing, but women can serve. And if we need a draft to defend this nation from a threat, then why not women? That makes no sense. The real question I think Josh Hawley should be asking is about combat roles. That's a different argument. Well, therein lies the problem. They changed the combat roles thing first. Women can serve combat starting back, I think, a few years ago. Now, with the draft, that will put women in combat, and therein lies the problem. They could have done it the other way around, but ultimately we end up in the same position. Tom Cotton says, our military has welcomed women for decades and are stronger for it. But America's daughters shouldn't be drafted against their will. I opposed this amendment in committee, and I'll work to remove it before the defense bill passes. Maybe what really ends up happening, because it's not set in stone, maybe what ends up happening is a whole bunch of feminists call their Democratic politicians and say, you better remove this because there's no way I'm signing up for this stuff. If you don't sign up, it's a felony. Yeah, keep that in mind. Maybe they get it removed. I'm not entirely sure. One response to Tom Cotton said, if a draft becomes necessary, all should be prepared to fight. Sending our sons to carry these burdens alone is unreasonable. If we haven't the stomach for battle, we shouldn't enter a war. I'm a third generation veteran and woman. It's a fair point. We need everybody to defend this country in the event we actually have to defend it. But again, my concern is, are we going to be sending people off to foreign wars for dumb reasons to die? Now, in the end, if women aren't going to be in the draft, then I don't think you can force men to be in the draft. I just don't see it. We have this tweet from Chip Roy. Chip Roy is a congressman from the great state of Texas who writes, it should be our political mission to defeat any member of Congress, Senate or House in either party who forces this garbage on our daughters. This is a non-starter and is all out political war. The Republicans may push back harder than we realize, but I am not convinced they'll be able to stop the NDAA. 60 years. 60 years. Now, ladies, let me just remind you something you are not familiar with, because this country does not have equality, that for which you are correct. Equality would mean you would know about what happens if you fail to register. So all of you young men out there, please share this with young women you know who are wondering what's happening. The Selective Service, SSS.gov, says, if required to register with the Selective Service, failure to register is a felony, punishable by a fine of up to $250,000 and or 5 years imprisonment. Also, a person who knowingly counsels, aids, or abets another to fail to comply with the registration requirement is subject to the same penalties. Unless a man provides proof that he is exempt from the registration requirement, his failure to register will result in referral to the Department of Justice for possible investigation and prosecution. Now, truth be told, there are many states where it's basically automatic. You know, when you're signing up, you just check a box and then you're done. Some states don't do this. So you need to register. And now, should this pass in September, young ladies, herein lies the problem. There may be many young women who don't know the bill passes. Why? Because they don't pay attention to politics. So what happens? Well, if you are a young woman who lives in a state and let's say you're 23 or 24, they pass this bill, and now you are between the ages of 18 and 25 and required to register for the draft, and you don't, you've committed a felony. And you might not even know about it. That's why it's important people know this is happening. Because if they pass this, what are they going to do? How are they going to make sure everybody reasonably knows they have to do this? It's one thing when you're a young man. And, you know, for me growing up and I'm coming close to 18 and they're like, OK, you make sure you go sign up for the Selective Service for the draft. And I'm like, really? You have to do that? You have to do it. And culturally, we know we have to tell young men to do this. And when I go to the DMV or whatever, they're like, also, you realize now that you're this age. I'm like, yeah. So we fill out the stuff. We fill out the card. We send it in. We're done. Right. There's no culture built around telling young women to do this. We can't just build it overnight. Now, I don't think necessarily we're going to see a lot of prosecutions in this regard. I don't think they're going to go round up women and arrest them. However, you can't get student loans. You won't be able to, in some circumstances, get jobs in the federal government. So what happens if this young woman now is 26, a couple years from now, And they're like, oh, we see that you never signed up for the selective service. You didn't register for the draft. Sorry, we can't hire you. Sorry, we can't give you student loans. Sorry, you committed a felony. What happens if you actually plead guilty to a felony? They say, in addition to potential criminal repercussions, failure to register may make a man permanently ineligible for certain benefits. But let's just change a man to anyone. That could be you, ladies. Now, if you don't agree with this, well, I don't have to tell you, because I certainly think this is equality. Which brings me to this story from the Wall Street Journal opinion section. January 16th, 2019. So this is 2.5 years ago. Heather McDonald writes, women don't belong in combat units. The military is watering down fitness standards because most female recruits can't meet them. The Obama-era policy of integrating women into ground combat units is a misguided social experiment that threatens military readiness and wastes resources in the service of a political agenda. The next defense secretary should end it. Well, they didn't. In September 2015, the Marine Corps released a study comparing the performance of gender-integrated and male-only infantry units in simulated combat. The all-male teams greatly outperformed the integrated teams, whether on shooting, surmounting obstacles, or evacuating casualties. Female Marines were injured at more than 6 times the rate of men during preliminary training. Unsurprising, since men's higher testosterone levels produce stronger bones and muscles, even the fittest women, which the study participants were, must work at maximal physical capacity when carrying a 100-pound pack or repeatedly loading heavy shells into a cannon. Ignoring the Marine study, then Defense Secretary Ash Carter opened all combat roles to women in December 2015. Rather than requiring new female combat recruits to meet the same physical standards as men, the military began crafting gender-neutral standards in the hope that more women would qualify. Previously, women had been admitted to non-combat specialties under lower strength and endurance requirements. Only 2 women have passed the Marine Corps' fabled infantry officer training course out of the 3 dozen who have tried. Most wash out in the combat endurance test, administered on day 1. Participants hike miles while carrying combat loads of 80 pounds or more, climb 20-foot ropes multiple times, and scale an 8-foot barrier. The purpose of the test is to ensure that officers can hump their own equipment and still arrive at a battleground mentally and physically capable of leading troops. Most female aspirants could not pass the test, so the Marines changed it from a pass-fail requirement to an unscored exercise with no bearing on the candidate's ultimate evaluation. The weapons company hike during the IOC is now gender neutral, meaning that officers can hand their pack to a buddy if they get tired, rather than carrying it for the course's full 10 miles. Who was the president in 2019 who could have made these changes and pay attention to this? It was Donald J. Trump. And he didn't do it. Where are we at now? Military.com says 53 women officially become Marines at formerly all-male boot camp, they say. 53 women in the first ever co-ed company to train at the Marine Corps West Coast Training Base completed the crucible Thursday morning. The demanding 3-day event is the culminating exercise at boot camp, and the recruits were presented with the coveted Eagle, Globe, and Anchor pins afterward and called Marines for the first time. The female platoon, which is part of Lima Company, 3rd Recruit Training Battalion, won the final drill competition, said Captain Martin Harris, a spokesman at the recruit depot. During the competition, drill instructors are given a list of tasks at random that their recruits must perform on the parade deck. Each platoon is evaluated individually by drill masters. Winning the competition, Harris said, requires good teamwork, efficiency, and discipline. Well, good for them. You know, bravo. Congratulations on completing the task. But did they only complete it because standards were reduced? That may be the case. Well, times change. Gender neutral might not make sense to a lot of people, but like I said, man, the Soviet strategy was to send wave after wave of their own men into, it's a joke, by the way, because that's from Futurama, but the idea is quantity over quality. When you take a look at the history of warfare, you go back way back in time, you'll see something interesting. Early on, people needed to be trained with swords, with, you know, trained in that combat where they clash into each other and they're hitting each other. Trained to a certain degree. Untrained individuals, it was bad. Well, you can see in like East Asia where they developed specialized weapons and specialized production of swords and things like that. They had great technique and martial arts. Skill dominated all. The samurai of Japan, skilled, disciplined, honorable. But something changed. You see, it was the invention of, or I should say the mass production of armaments, of ordnance, of guns and rifles. And all of a sudden now you could hand a gun to a regular to some random young person and say, you know, fight this person. They still needed some training. A little bit. Here's how you reload. Here's how you do this. Substantially less, however. They could point, and the destructive capability of those firearms made them substantially more effective than well-trained samurai who didn't have guns. And maybe I'm wrong about the whole samurai thing. That's my general understanding. They became obsolete. Didn't need that warrior class anymore. Just take a young person, here's your rifle, and have at it. That changed everything. Now they were like, we can conscript anybody, not need to worry about training because these weapons hold the power. Where do you think we're headed now? Does it really matter if we have men or women when you can put them into like a mech suit or something? I'm kidding, by the way. But if we're replacing physical combat and ground combat with a lot of like drone strikes and tanks, Space Force, not that we've completely moved in this space right now, but that we're moving in that direction, wouldn't it make sense that a woman could press a button the same as a guy could? The faster technology grows in terms of weapons development, the more it will be opened up to people who don't require as much training. But don't get me wrong, they definitely need training. Case in point, they're involved in these, you know, boot camps. I want to pull up a tweet, however. This is probably having something to do with what's going on with the draft, but these tweets aren't necessarily related. This one woman, Vanessa Santos, says, I think we could make it work just fine in response to Jeremy Boring's statement about, you know, the society wants to ban men. It won't go well for women. She said, I think we could make it work. Jeremy said, I know you do. You've grown up in a civilization largely built by men to protect women. So you haven't had to face the reality you're so glib about. There was an interesting response. Bunny on Twitter, just a random account, said, BS. It's a society built by men to keep women subjugated. It's like saying a fox built a hen house to keep chickens safe when the fox is the problem. The only one not seeing reality is you, toots. No surprise you work with Ben Shapiro. Amazing. I thought that was funny when I saw that because I have chickens. I had chickens a long time ago in Miami, but I have more chickens now. And we have a rooster. We didn't intend to get a rooster, but turns out one of the babies was misgendered. They said it was female. Turns out to have been a rooster. So now we got a rooster. Okay, we got a rooster. You see the problem with these worldviews? This guy, or this person, whoever this is. A fox built a hen house. Why would a fox build a hen house? The fox eats the hen. The analogy is dumb. But let's break it down for what it is. The reality is the rooster builds the hen house. Like, not literally, humans do. Why do humans build a hen house? Well, I have a chicken coop that is double fenced in. Like, it's two layers, and it even goes down about a foot into the ground. Why? To protect them, not to subjugate them. They live a glorious, safe life. And in fact, my chickens, we're not even going to eat. We've long said that these chickens are going to live a long and healthy life and die of old age. Because the goal of having these chickens isn't to just chicken farm. We got them because we want to have chickens and have fun. They'll lay eggs, but they only lay eggs for a few years. After that, they don't lay eggs anymore, and they just consume. A lot of people just usually eat them at that point, but we're not. We're going to, you know, have them on our YouTube channel and people can watch chickens do chicken stuff. The reality is, here's what I said. It's like saying the roosters built the hen house to keep the hens safe from the fox. The fox is the problem. Take away the rooster and the hens die one by one. Now, I understand humans are not chickens, but what these people don't understand, they genuinely believe the dangers of the world are literally the men who are trying to stop the dangers of the world. It's not so simple. You know, someone asked, what's the fox in this analogy? And it's a predator. That's it. So you take a look at the history and biological evolution and why we ended up with patriarchy and gender norms. And it's quite simple. It really is. Basic math. As I've long stated, I don't credit me with this. I'm just some guy who reads stuff on the internet. If you have a tribe of people with 100 men and 100 women and 99 men die, that one man, he can have kids with all of those women, and within 9 months, there can be 99 children. Women can pick up the slack and take on a lot of these roles. It's a weakened society. I mean, you lost almost half of your people, but one man can bring it all back. Now, if you have the same tribe, but 99 women die, you're doomed. Women make humans. Men do not. I mean, okay, don't get me wrong. Men and women together will make a human, but the woman is who actually, whose physical body produces the new person. That's why men typically would go out and do the more dangerous things, and women would stay protected, because women were substantially more valuable in terms of biology and evolution. Now, that's still true to this day, except because there's this mass population, because people don't want to have kids anymore, we don't need those same gender roles. And so naturally, things start to break down. Traditional gender roles naturally start falling away, whether you like it or not. And some people still live in rural areas and dangerous areas where women need to be kept safe, and some don't. But let me make a point about the chickens. The rooster may be brutal. He may jump on the back of those chickens and they squawk and they scream and all that stuff. He may be tough and he pushes them around. He's the top of the pecking order. But it is a well-known fact. If a predator comes, the rooster will warn the hens and they'll run and hide. And the rooster would even run full speed to the predator and fight, sacrificing his own life to keep those hens alive. Man. So pros and cons. You tell me about your perspective. Should women be in combat? There is something absolutely magical about the fact that a man will run full speed towards a grizzly bear to keep his wife and his children safe, and he will be mauled to death for it. There is something truly magic about the noble rooster who will run full speed towards a coyote, knowing he will die because he wants his hens to escape. It's bravery. Now, perhaps if you have 12 hens and one fox, they could all attack and gang up on the fox and maybe even fight back. And I've heard stories about stuff like that. But the hens are smaller, softer. They're more tender. You know, people say you don't want to eat a rooster. They're gamey and tough. It's hard to eat. Chickens, moist and delicious. We love chicken. We don't eat rooster. We go to the chicken, we buy chicken. We don't eat rooster. I mean, I guess some people do. You can eat whatever, right? Men will run to war, will die, will watch their best friends die because they're hoping to keep everyone safe. Not just women and children, but men too. The ones who aren't at war. If women want to do that, I also believe that is noble and honorable. But I also recognize men, on average, can carry more weight, can jump higher, can run faster, have more bone density, have more muscle mass, have more collagen. That isn't to say women can't do it. I just think there needs to be a standard. If they lower that standard, they're going to make it a lot easier for a lot of guys, I suppose, which could be a good thing. Maybe that'll whip some guys into shape better. But it also, you just think about it. As they stated in that in the Wall Street Journal article, women are operating at maximum capacity. Men aren't. So that means with the lower standards, there are going to be a lot of guys who are actually a bit more doughy because they don't need to work as hard. The women, on the other hand, are going to be pushing themselves to the limit while the guys are relaxing. You know, the path to hell is paved with good intentions, huh? Well, ladies, welcome to the draft. I hope you enjoy it. We'll see how it plays out. Next segment's coming up tonight at 8 p.m. over at youtube.com/TimCastIRL. Thanks for hanging out, and we'll see you all then.